Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
From Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean you will be entertained.
Okay, Chameleon, yeah. Relax.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
relax.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. Stop rubbing your butt near my face.
Sorry about that. I couldn't contain myself.
Hello. Thank you so much for tuning into the Strange Chameleon Show. I am your host, Strange.
Are we going back to basics? Is that what's going on? And I am the Chameleon.
There's nothing wrong with going back to basics, Chameleon. Well, my goodness, Oscar traffic. See, that's the thing that they don't talk about. They talk about Oscar week, but they don't talk about Oscar traffic.
Yeah, what's going on with the traffic these days?
Yeah, it's pretty wild right now. Today on the show, we have a very special guest. We have Yeli De Leon. She is an actress, producer. List goes on. She's going to go ahead and cover the rest of that list.
Oh, it's so large.
Multi-hyphenate, what they call in the business. Very talented. And it's a pleasure to have her on. She will be here in time for her interview.
Beautiful.
But she is, I believe, surviving the 405 as we speak. But she will be here, which is great. And now I want to go ahead and get started. Chameleon, if you can please take a seat, my goodness.
Yes, my dear.
Should okay. I get the Ritalin?
No, you don't need any Ritalin.
Do I need the Ritalin?
That makes it worse, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You would know from experience?
I would.
It makes it worse?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear.
With alcohol? Oh, boy. Do not mix with that.
No, 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 no. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
It was just way too loud in my headphones. I had to change it.
I know. But let's go ahead and start off with some of the topics of the week. For example, the Notorious storyline and the headlines.
Which is what?
Which is Jussie Smollett.
Jussie Smollett.
He apparently, now they're saying, it's interesting because, you know, when it was believed, first of all, we discussed the story first here last week on why the police suspected that it was fake, because it had to do with him, you know, they retrieved his phone logs and it had to do with him having communication with these two individuals that were supposedly the attackers. So when people were beginning to question his story, the headlines, you know, were, could it be? Is it possible attack? And no one liked the possible word in that. And now that it is now a fact that he was not a legitimate victim of a hate crime.
Really?
Now the headlines are reading that he did not pay the brothers for the alleged attack. It was for a nutritional meal plan, because apparently he signed a check to them for $3,500, and that initially people were beginning to suspect that that was the money, the amount perhaps that they got for supposedly beating him up. But as it turns out, regardless, okay, it was still fake. Bottom line is he didn't get a beat down. And the perpetrators had gloves on, and he had like a scratch on his head.
Oh my God.
Across his face, excuse me.
Now I kind of wish he got a beat down. Because yeah. Now he lied to us.
So this is so awkward. So last Monday, he was on the set of Empire. And it's so awkward, you know? Like, he said he apologized to everyone. I'm sorry for everything that's happened. Never admitting fault. He never admitted fault. I'm sure his lawyer, you know.
Right.
Told him, don't admit to anything without me present. But everyone just kind of, you know, and then they just went straight to the lines. Can you imagine that? Like, I am sorry for my lies, for what I have done. All right, let's go ahead and shoot this thing. All right, action.
Right, action.
You know, it's like, my goodness, weird. Well, anyways, that was, he showed up then and he, they kicked him out afterwards. Like, people feel uncomfortable working with him. He's no longer coming in, really.
Yeah.
Last I heard. So awkward, you know? And this is something, so Yanla, Yanla Van Zandt, who has her own show on the Oprah Network. This okay. This is what she had to say about the story with Jussie Smollett and everything that we now know as factual.
Anytime now. Here we go.
If he did this, he lied like everyone lies. Here's the thing. If we're using that analogy, then shouldn't we be more sympathetic to the leader of this country based on her analogy? Because...
Yeah, I guess because he lies.
He grew up with a father that if you weren't worth more than $1 million, you weren't worth anything to him.
Really? Jeez.
His dad was, you know, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
And it's, then we should be more sympathetic about this leader of this country then. You know, it's not normal for a leader to go on Twitter and say all these rambunctious things.
Yeah.
That's not normal. So shouldn't we be seeing this with more sympathy? Because if someone is using that analogy, then we have to use it on both cards. You know what I mean? You
right.
can't just pick and choose where you want to place your sympathy to. It has to be all or nothing using that analogy.
Right.
Otherwise, it's called hypocrisy.
That's right.
You know? Because there can't be a double standard if this is the analogy you're using. So that's the only issue that I have with that. And also, you know, it is a felony to report a hate crime that hasn't happened. So he's facing
yeah.
possible jail time right now and so on. And, you know, that's my thought on that because fair is fair.
Fair is fair.
Now, another news story is the Hollywood Reporter reported.
Ah, gotcha.
Michael Jackson's estate is suing HBO over a documentary titled Leaving Neverland. Now, this is after the child that was supposedly molested, and it was found out that he was found not guilty, Michael Jackson.
Right.
So
it was like back in the 90s.
And he's now, so the estate is now suing HBO because it's saying, okay, you're just tarnishing the name for nothing because this already went to court and he never faced anything. The charges were, he was found not guilty.
Oh, this was recently they just put, HBO did?
Yeah, they just recently are trying to develop this
not
Leaving
good.
Neverland you know, let the man rest in peace.
I know.
He went to court. You know, he was prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, given the charges, and he was found not guilty. I mean, this did go to court.
Yeah.
And he was found not guilty. And we were watching the other day a documentary based on the events that happened when
right.
he was being sued and so forth and taken to court. And the attorney said how they never found any porn, any child porn. And all they found was, you know, adult porn.
Right.
And that's all they showed. And he said that the level of pornography in that courtroom, it could have made your head spin almost. I mean, can you imagine how awkward that is? Everyone's. And it's just, and so, but the DA was trying to curate a story like, well, this is what he used to entice the children.
Right.
Since
right.
they couldn't find any legitimate child pornography. So anyways, it's just like, you know, this man was found not guilty in a court of law. And this man has living children right now.
Yeah.
Does anyone care about his children? And, you know, it's, I feel like this is just such a low blow coming from HBO. I
nope.
did not intend for it to rhyme.
Yeah, I know. No, definitely.
It's just,
definitely a low blow from HBO.
Very,
yo.
Very unfortunate.
No, and like you said, just let the men rest in peace without people now bringing up some stupid thing that happened so long ago. And it's like,
and you know what?
It was false anyways. Oh, you're.
I got to admit, though, for the longest, I did believe that story.
Yeah.
Because that's all that you would see in the headlines. You know, it
right.
was Jacko Wacko and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then you can only hear that once, you know, so many times before you start believing it.
Right.
Not really knowing the facts, but now we all know what they are, at least, you know, trying to.
And our guest has arrived.
She has just arrived. Hello, Yelly.
How's it going? How's it going?
Hello.
We're drugs.
Get well, he's right now. Chameleon is tied to we're tied to the headset.
So. Yeah. It's all good though.
How are you doing today?
I am doing fabulous. Thank you for having me. So grateful to be here. How
are
you?
I love the jewelry.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
My mom makes all kinds of jewelry.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That is so nice. Does she sell it on eBay or
just to her friends?
Oh,
she gives them away as gifts and stuff.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
I like to wear them, and she makes a lot of stuff like because she does like chakra healings. She's a Reiki healer, so she puts a lot of really good energy on the stones and stuff.
Oh, I love that. Yes, it's good to know that if you're getting something like a beautiful piece of jewelry like that, you know that it wasn't some child that made it over in China or something like that with blood, sweat, and tears, you know. So it's great to know that good energy went into that, because I always wonder, I got to tell you, I always wonder when I buy it from the stores. You know what I mean?
Like where it came from?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you can feel it too.
Yeah.
Right.
There's something to that, you know? So I like to feel good about everything around me. So
good.
I'm very, very much an energy person.
Good.
Yeah. Good. So are
that.
We. Yep. Nothing but positive energy.
Well, I thank you so much for being here again.
Yeah. And sorry about the traffic, but it's the Oscars. Hello.
Yes. We were just talking about
that. There was a police officer on the highway, like trying to clear traffic. It was that bad. Seriously, everyone's like, yeah, right in the heart of Hollywood. So it's pretty crazy out there.
Well, I wanted to go ahead and ask you, because you are a writer, you're a producer, you're an actress. Anything else I'm missing?
I would say I'm a storyteller.
Storyteller, yes.
There
yeah.
To sum it all up.
Yeah, because I direct, I produce, I write. I mean, I do theater, I do film, I do whatever the story needs,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah,
depends,
I understand.
Depends on the needs of the story.
Of course, of course. Now, go ahead and tell us a little bit about the household that you grew up. If do you come from members of your family that were already performers, or
actually, not professionally, no. But yeah, we had a lot of clowns in my family.
Oh, really?
Well, they thought they were funny. I don't know that they're funny. They're still trying to do some comedy. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how funny you are. But no, actually, my father was a musician.
Nice.
Growing up, my father, yeah, he played so many instruments, and that's something that he was very passionate about. He always wanted to be a professional musician, but he went into a different profession, and he's a scholar, so he got his, you know, went through his education with, he was teaching the history of Mexico, and he just loved all kinds of things about Mexico. So, yeah, but music was something that was a big part of my family. My mother, on the other hand, she's just a great writer. She's never been a professional writer, mm-hmm. but she was a teacher. She speaks 7 languages.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's a linguist, and she's just a great storyteller. My grandmother, on the other hand, so my grandmother told me this story one time that I think she was like 17 or something, and this scout in Mexico saw her and was like, oh my God, I want to put you in the movies. But this was like back in the, you know, we'll say 30s, I don't know, something like that, 30s, 40s. And her mother was like, no, you can't do that because actresses are known for different things, you know, back in the day. You're not going to do that, not my daughter. So my grandmother was very, very beautiful. And she had that opportunity. And it was just something that whenever you saw her, it's like she just looks like a movie star. You're just like, wow, mm-hmm. that woman belonged on the stage, on the screen. Mm-hmm. And she would tell me so many stories as a kid that I'm like, she's a storyteller. She really is. So it was always something I was surrounded around, but not anything professionally. No, it's not something that I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a family thing. No,
yeah.
I can't say that.
And how many, if you know or can remember, what are the languages that she speaks?
Oh,
I'm just curious.
Okay. So we were, let me try to remember, because we were in Greece 2 years ago, I think. And she sat down, we were sitting at some restaurant, and this man comes up to her. Men always come up to my mom. She's so cool. And he's like, hey, can I sit here? And she's like, sure. So we're sitting at the table with him, and he's telling us where he's from, asking her where she's from. And then he's like, I've been to that town. Because he was a sailor mm-hmm. back in the day. And where we're from in Mexico, it's a port. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I've been there. So all of a sudden they start talking. And then I bring up the languages because they were speaking in the Greek, actually. Because she learned it when we were going over there. She learned it. Mm. And then they just started having this conversation right in front of me, like in 7 languages. And I'm like, what are all those languages? I don't know. For sure I know English, Spanish, Italian, Greek. Russian, believe it or not, she took some, I guess, in high school, and German as well. And then the last one, what's the last one? There's one more that I'm not thinking of right now. French. She was a French teacher, duh.
Oh, nice.
She was a French teacher as well, yeah. But she said, like, once you learn one and you know how to conjugate, she's like, it's easy for the rest of them. The Romance languages, they're all kind of connected.
I feel like for someone that speaks Spanish, Italian would be super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when I went to Italy, I understood it. I also understood Portuguese. We did a documentary in the favelas in Brazil, and I didn't speak nothing. All I knew was like, muito bom. And they're like, are you Italian? Because I sound Italian. I'm like, no. But I got by because I understood like everything that was going on. So
nice. Interesting. Yeah, because Portuguese is a combination of Spanish and French. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it you know, it's like derives somewhat you can understand it. I know that a while ago I was working in retail, mm-hmm. and there was a couple, they were tourists from Brazil, and they couldn't really, you know, speak Spanish, but they understood me in Spanish, mm-hmm. because they were trying to return like these luggages, like 3, and so we kind of, you know, we figured it out.
Yeah, it's amazing what communication skills all of a sudden you have when you don't understand. You're just like, oh, what? Oh, okay, you get it.
Yeah.
you want your money? Okay, sure.
Yeah, especially when they want their money back. Yeah.
I have a strange gift where I can't understand anyone who speaks any other languages, but I understand kind of like what they're saying. Like, so if they're saying something, I don't know what they're saying, but I know that they're about to make me a sandwich or something. You know?
right.
All right, you go ahead and continue making that sandwich for me. And they're like, no, they just got to go. I'm going to put poison into it or something.
And now, how did you exactly get started in the entertainment?
Oh, wow. How much time do we have now?
No, we got plenty of time.
You got 3 seconds.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, because I'm like, do I go back to the beginning? Or like, because there's like so many different times that the universe was like, you. And I'm like, really, me? Okay.
Well, what was one of the things that you feel it was that turning point for you or when you discovered that passion?
Well, here's the thing. I was a very, very small child. And it was the summer of... I don't know what year it was, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't remember right now. But we were in Chicago, and that's where I was born and raised, south side of Chicago, which is like 70 below zero wind chill. There's nothing to do there in the winter for 6 months.
Wow.
Your pipes are bursting. You get sick. I mean, it's a very miserable,
70 below?
with the wind chill.
Yeah.
People never believe me. And I'm like, you know, last week they're like, oh, it's 50 below wind chill. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. That's that's what I remember. That's why I left. And they were shooting this TV show called Crime Story, which okay. was a Michael Mann production. This was like back in the day. I didn't know who Michael Mann was. I didn't know anything, you know. I was just like, okay. And they came up to my house. I have a my grandmother owned a second story home in Chicago. It's right on the corner. And they knocked on the door, and I was the one that went downstairs. I was the translator. And I'm like, yes? And they're like, oh, hi, we'd like to rent your house. You know, is your mom here? And I'm like, no, she's at work. They're like, oh, who's the owner? I'm like, my grandma. They're like, oh, can you tell her we want to shoot a TV show here? And I was like, okay, I'm this little kid running upstairs. Grandma, mm-hmm. grandma, they want to shoot here a TV show. And she's like, oh, no, diles que no, no, no. Uh-huh. So I come back down, and I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. No, my grandma said no. They're like, oh, well, tell her we have $500. So I'm like, grandma, grandma, ahorita tienen dinero. Okay, sí, sí. She was like, okay, you know. So for an entire week, I had the whole cast, the crew, the late Dennis Farina, I mean, the director, everybody was in my living room for an entire week. And I'm just this little kid. Just I wasn't in school. It was in the summer. So I'm like, what is going on? Oh, my God, I love this. This is great. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was just a nosy little kid. So I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know, asking all these questions. And the director was sitting at my breakfast table one day because my grandmother didn't know about craft services. She didn't know they had lunch or, you know, this is all new to her. Mm-hmm. She didn't know how it worked. So she was making breakfast for all the guys. So, of course, the entire crew would prefer her breakfast over the craft services, you know, breakfast. Because it was a Mexican, you know, lo cafecito. And so they were all there just chilling, you know. So I remember going up to the director and saying, hey, is there anything I can do? And he's like, yeah, actually, when you hear a gunshot, go to the window and, like, open it up and just look out. And I'm like, are you sure? Because usually when there's a gunshot, I'm supposed to, like, run and hide under my bed.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I want to do that. And he's like, no, it's not real. Yeah. And I'm like, it's not real. Okay. So the reason they wanted that shot was because this was before drones. So we were in the second story, and they put the camera on my porch, and they were getting a shot of the guy getting shot from up above as he's coming through the alley. So I was a nosy little kid that peeks out the window.
Yeah.
And so like a week later, you know, they told us when it was going to air, and I watched it. And I'm this little kid watching TV, you know, and I'm like, wait, there's my house. Wait, where's the crew? So that just really put that seed in me, like, what is this? I want to figure this out. What is going on? You know, I just had that experience as a kid. And I saw my shadow. I knew it was me. Uh-huh. But I'm like, wait, how am I there? And I'm not there. And, like, it just was, like, really just mind opening for me, right?
Right.
So that was, like, the first thing that I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I love. This is honestly just what I love. The other thing is my grandparents were really hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. So I would have to speak really, really loud. I just naturally have a very loud voice because of that. And so in school, my teacher was like, here, you're going to memorize this and do this oratory contest. I'm like, what is that? They're like, it's monologues. Just go. I'm like, okay. So I went to this oratory contest and I won. And I went all the way to state and I traveled a lot. And I was just like, I guess I'm good at this. Like, okay.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That's cool.
So then when it was time to do to go to high school, I was supposed to go to Whitney Young, which is where like Michelle Obama went. So everybody that goes there is like an attorney or like, you know,
a
politician.
Yeah.
But then I went to go see The Wizard of Oz at this performing arts high school. And that was my second, like, oh, my God, I love this. Because the lead was played by an African-American woman. And I had never seen that. I had never seen anybody, a person of color, in, you know, a lead role of that sort. On television, it's always novelas, you know, blonde, blue-eyed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, oh, my God, I love this. So I turned down Whitney Young. My whole family was really upset. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I love this. I want to do this. So I studied as a theater major, and they also had a whole television production, if you can believe that. They had, like, I mean, everything. We did TV shows. I had three shows on the air at one point, which was, like, cable access, but I'm a teenager doing all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, awesome. I love this, you know? But that's where it all started, all the way over there. And so I have to remind myself every time I'm just like, oh, this roller coaster of this business. I'm like, you know what? I didn't come looking for Hollywood. They came literally knocking on my door, you know?
Literally. You're right.
Yeah, literally.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. It's definitely fascinating how things can just happen and then your eyes are just, they're open to a whole new world. I know that when I was growing up, I really legitimately thought that television shows were real. Like the people were real and all that, you know, it's fascinating. Oh, and then the camera pans, like it's real. The camera to me was like this ominous thing, you know, some secret eye in the sky or something. But it is so fascinating. And you mentioned that you had never really seen a woman of color play lead.
Yeah.
And I think that's also one of the reasons why, you know, Roma is getting the attention that it is.
Oh my God, yes.
Receiving.
About time, yeah.
And I know, I don't know if you know, because you are Hispanic. So are you aware of this Mexican actor from like back in the days? I'm sure your parents would know, Sergio Goyri.
You know, I don't know him, but I read about the controversy of what he, what.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, I couldn't believe that.
I mean,
that's terrible. He sent, for those that don't know, he sent out like some tweet or Instagram, whatever social media post, saying that he couldn't believe that they were giving this, indicating the lead of Roma, this Indian woman, attention. Like,
really?
Indian in a very
derogatory.
Yes, jeez. Derogatory way. Yeah. Not like, oh, Indian American, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, very mean. Cold-hearted.
He was very cold-hearted.
Yeah.
And he backtracked and he apologized. And I'm like, yeah, you better apologize.
Yeah.
And he got death threats.
You know, it's just ignorance. It's just ignorance. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, you know, the caste system, colonialism. I did study, went to UCLA and I studied ethnic studies. Mm-hmm. So I got to learn the whole entire real history. I was like, oh, finally, I get the real history of what's going on. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm just like, you know, we have so much history, so much culture, and all that truth has been suppressed for so long, and our culture is beautiful. I mean, being indigenous is amazing. That's what a Mexican is. It's half indigenous, half Spaniard. You know,
mm-hmm. it is. Yeah.
And so a lot of people deny that, and they're like, "No, we're Spanish." That, when you hear someone like they're Spanish, I'm like, "Okay," and they're like, "They're really Mexican," but they're denying their indigenous roots,
right.
And I'm like, "Yeah, that's just crazy to me." But that there's a lot of I call it like residue of colonialism still that mm-hmm. exists. You know, which is racism, classism, but Mexico, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's true. That's how it does. A lot of people do still think like that, and it's very unfortunate. So I'm very happy that she's nominated, and I hope that she wins, because I think she did an amazing job. And I was also reading about other people that were hating on her, and I'm like, you know what? That's just jealousy. That's just all it is, you know?
Yeah, I definitely don't think that, you know, you should be so negative towards someone just because you've never seen someone like that on the screen. You know, whether you thought that the movie was great or not, or the story, okay, I feel like, okay, you know, you're mm-hmm. always going to have your critics, that's fine. But yeah, judging it based on solely because of the way that the lead actress looks like is just, it's completely wrong. And I'm glad that people aren't, you know, they're not taking it.
Yeah.
And
did you see what Glenn Close said today?
No, I did not.
She's so gracious. I love her. She gave this whole big speech about the invisible people. And now she's like, there's a lot of people that, you know, they work. We don't know their story. She's like, but everybody has a story to tell, and everyone's story is worth telling. And I thought that was just so great of her to say that, you know?
I love her. I fell in love with her acting in Damages.
Mm.
That show was,
yeah, that was
killer.
Good.
We were glued. To the Netflix reruns.
Binge watch.
Netflix binge watching. I mean, she's a powerhouse.
Yeah. She's been nominated, I think, 7 times, but she hasn't won. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll definitely see in a few hours.
Huh.
But also, to touch base on what you mentioned, see, the thing about racism is a lot of the times, especially in America, we think that it's just like the white man or white woman being racist, or, you know, mm-hmm. somehow simply because of, you know, slavery and being what it was. But truth be told is that racism is just, it's an ignorant weapon mm-hmm. that surpasses any race, because there is racism where we come from, where our parents came from. And it has to do, again, like you said, just has to do with the skin color, and you're not light enough. And it's a true shame, because I've met people here where they do pretend like they don't know Spanish, and they mm-hmm. do speak it. So it has nothing to do with them, you know, maybe not learning Spanish when they were growing up, mm-hmm. which I feel like it's a great disservice when the parents don't teach their children Spanish because they just want them to be so Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, you're doing a disservice to your child, because that is part of who they are.
Yeah, it's their culture.
It's
where
important.
They
are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I'm a published children's book author, so I have a book called Yelly's First Day, and I go around and I read it to different kids from kindergarten to, like, 7th grade. But it really is a semi-autobiographical story, because I was born in Chicago, but at 3 months old I was taken to Mexico. So my first language actually was Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for about 5 years until it was time to come back to school. But when I came back to school, I was so scared of going to school because I thought they were going to make fun of me because my English, things like that, right? And so that's what this book is about. It's a very, very beautiful story. Yelly's first day.
Please tell us.
Yelly's first day. And so what ended up happening is whenever I would go to Mexico, because I would go every summer, you know, they'd be like, don't speak English. My mom especially would be like, don't speak English or they're going to charge us more. Which is true. They're like, oh, she's
a Mexican.
Gringa,
that's kind of what I told Patrick when we went to Puerto Vallarta.
Don't speak English.
All right. It's kind of hard, but I had to manage. Yeah.
And then I would come here and then it was like, don't speak Spanish. And I clearly remember this when I was in grammar school. They had this little jar. And if you spoke Spanish, they would fine you. It was like 5 cents. They would fine us.
So it was like a
bad thing, right? You couldn't do it. So in my mind, I was always so conflicted about, I'm like, because I'm Mexican-American. Like, I have both cultures, both traditions, both languages, and I love them equally. You know, my heart and my soul is in both cultures. So I was just like, man, I'm going to just be mute, I guess. I can't talk. I can't talk any language, you know? But I'm really big on bilingual education. And there's a place called Read Conmigo, and it's an organization, nonprofit, but you get books for free, and there are bilingual books. So I really like working with them because, you know, it's something that until you see someone that looks like you, until you hear your story, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, then you feel like the kids are like, yeah, I'm important too, you know? Like, they kind of need that somebody like that. And I remember that was for me when I saw The Wizard of Oz. I was like, I want to do what she's doing. Oh, my God, I love it, you know? So I really am very particular with what projects I take on because I want to make sure that I'm making a change in the long run for our community because it's something that I wish I had somebody there for me back in the day, whether it was in school or I remember so many times where I was waiting for somebody to teach, you know, Chicano cinema or Latino cinema, and they're like, oh, there's nobody here credentialed to do it. I'm like, whoa, am I going to have to go get credentialed to come back and be that person that I wanted there for me, you know? Because there's something to be said about that when we're telling our own stories. And to go back to a little bit what you were saying, like, it seems like when we tell our own stories, somehow they can get dismissed, you know? But if somebody else does it that's an outsider, it's like they get all the praise and glory, you know?
Yeah.
So in this sense, like with Roma, I'm so happy because he's telling his story, you know? And I'm like, okay, great. People are noticing. And it's about time, you know? They're not discrediting him like, oh, it's just some, you know, it's your own story, your home story, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because I've been through that. I'm just like, you know, why do we, and I say we as a community because I've seen it over and over. It just gets dismissed, you know? But somebody else's work, it's like, wow, they're telling our story, you know?
But
yeah,
we should be telling
our stories.
Yes, that's yes. Right. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, at least
the kids agree.
And go ahead, you were just mentioning about you're reading to kids, and that's fantastic, and you're also doing something else with kids, I believe you mentioned to me a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so I also, over the summer, I'm always busy, I'm doing, like I said, it's like, I have to do, this industry is so crazy, like, all the roles are so stereotypical. When I read them, I'm just like, do I really want to do this? Well, I do need to pay my rent. Okay. You know, so I'll take like one like that. And then I'm like, but what do I really want to do? You know, where's my heart, my soul, my passion? And so I look for those kind of projects. So for the past 2 years, I've been at Casa 0101. And I volunteer there over the summer. And what I do along with an awesome team is I teach the kids how to make their own films, how to star in them, how to be on camera. So last year we actually did 20 short films and I was like, wow, we could have done a feature because it was so much work. It's the same amount of time and everything. So this year what we did is we did like, I would say it's called a pilot, but it was really like 10 short films that we weaved together. And we just screened them last week. It was like totally sold out. And I love that experience because the kids got to see themselves up on the big screen in non-stereotypical roles as leads. And you know, I'm being that person that I wanted there. And now, you know, I'm mentoring a lot of kids and just saying, you know, if this is something that you're passionate about, like, because it's a business. But then again, there's, you know, you have to love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, if there's anything else you'd rather do, I'm like, go do that. Honestly, yeah.
Right.
You know, because it's such a crazy business, you know, roller coaster.
Yeah. And like you said, it is show business.
Right.
Yeah, it's not show art.
Yeah, and for so long I was just doing the art because I'm like, I'm an artist. I love it. And then I got to a point where I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, now that I'm, you know, I made a feature film and I'm like, okay, there's all this contracts and paperwork and we're hiring people and yeah, we need an attorney. It's a business. Okay.
now it gets serious when you got to get the attorney involved.
Oh, you got to get contracts and all that and things you got to sign.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's one of the reasons, one of the main components that kind of screws up the artist sometimes is the fact that, you know, when, because it's like right brain and left brain working against each other almost, right?
If you were to see how many people, I had 4 meetings this week. So now what's happening is I'm getting a lot of scripts and people are like, oh, read this. We would love for you to be in this, this and that. And I'm like, first thing I ask is like, is it gang related? Because if it is, like, I don't want to do those roles, you know? Like, I'm like, I don't know.
I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah, I've been playing that role forever and I can do it with my eyes closed. But it's like, really, like, I had an incident recently, which I'll tell you about. But I just don't like what that does to us as a community, the way that we're looked at, you know?
Right.
And so that's just not, that is acting because I'm acting like that. But at the same time, I'm just like, it's not, it's something that's like, okay, whatever, I booked it, I'll do it. But I was very conscious about this pilot season in particular with my manager. We were talking about what roles I should take, shouldn't take, go out for, you know, because I took myself out of it for a little bit. And that's when I went back to school. I went to USC to do my master's in film and TV production. And I was like, no, you know what? I want to control the narrative. I want to control the story, the message, because I just, those roles, I'm like, oh, I just, you know, I just don't feel.
It's funny because that's how I got my SAG card, playing a Chola.
Oh, that's so funny.
But it was a comedy, so I felt totally, you know, very comfortable.
See, that's different. If it's a comedy, I'm like, all right, let's be this funny Chola. Right? Yes, right. Let's do this. Why not?
Yeah, right.
But when it's like when you're glorifying that lifestyle, right. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But so I'm getting these scripts and then, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm reading some of them and then we meet and they're like, oh, can you produce it too? And I'm like, okay, so basically you want me to do all the work? I'm like, no, I can't. So I've started to say no to a lot of work because I'm sitting there with the numbers and that's a whole different story. Like my brain just shuts down and I'm like, I don't like doing this, you know, what the line producing. And I know how to do all that from beginning to end, but it's not something that I really enjoy. And I'm someone that's like, I have to love it. I have to be totally in love with the story, the project, the people. Because you know how that is. You're spending all day, all night for months on end and years on end. You know, I was telling somebody recently, I'm like, you know, if I'm committing to this, I'm like, this could be a 2-year journey. It could be a 4-year journey. We don't know. So honestly, like, that's the one thing. I'm like, I'm taking my time with projects and just really seeing, like, do I really like this? And what is it about? Because a lot of these people haven't gone through the process and I have. So I'm just like, you know, there's so much work. I mean, there's so much work involved. It's a night and day, I have no life type of thing, you know?
You dedicate yourself to the craft.
Yeah.
And now how do you manage to finish one thing, or when do you know, kind of like, what state do you get into to sit down and write? Because it can be a little bit of sort of challenging sometimes because, you know, we're so used to being here and there and being busy. And then when you sit down and write, it's like, okay, let go of your inhibitions. You know, it's one of those bizarre kind of a meditative state almost. And then the pace that you have in between and when you know that you have to, that this is complete and you can move on to the next project.
The longest question I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's a challenge right now.
What is your process?
Break it down for it. No,
how do you not get writer's block? I'm hearing all these other questions in there.
Okay. Essentially, you're right.
So I have been fortunate to work with some really amazing people. And from each person I've taken, like, they're my film school. I'm like, I've learned this, 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 that. And I take what works for me. And somebody really, really big once told me, always make sure you have 5 things going on. One should be in development, one in pre-production, one in production, one in post-production, and one in rollout. That way you're not waiting for the phone to ring. That way you're not, you know, and it's always a constant thing. And so naturally I've learned to just, not by a calendar by any means, just by like knowing, okay, this project's going to take me this much. And I'm like that. That's why I'm always busy. You know, as an actor, I mean, if you know, they call, like, for Will and Grace, I just guest starred on Will and Grace.
I saw that.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was amazing. Such a great experience. I loved it. And a great storyline. For you guys, if you can check it out. It is this current season, season 2, episode 3. It's called Tex in the City. And
Tex in the City.
I got to work with Leslie Jordan, Emmy Award-winning Leslie Jordan, and, of course, Megan Mullally, Emmy Award-winning. Also, just amazing. Like, I bow down to her. She's, like, the queen of comedy. And that experience was amazing, you know. So for that, I'm like, I'll drop whatever. I'm like, I was working on stuff, but, you know, you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah. So no, well, it's a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
It's when you're the second person that I know that's been on Will and Grace. The first person was when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and it was my substitute teacher in science. He was awesome, mm-hmm. and he was in the scene, the episode when J-Lo starred ago. Yeah, and he was that guy in the subway, and he had a few lines.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, my manager actually was like, was Googling all the guest stars down there. He's like, J-Lo's guest starred. He's like, now you've guest starred. Like, looking at all the Latinas that have been on there, you know. Right. Well, they had Rosario for a long time, you know.
So. Rosario?
Yeah, the character of Rosario. And then, I don't, no spoilers, but she passed, not the actress, the character passed away last season. And he was like, yeah, maybe that's why there wasn't a lot of Latinos on there, because she was playing a Latina on there, you know, and that was, she had big storylines and stuff. But yeah, that was, I was so grateful for that experience. But that was like on a Sunday. My agent calls me. He never works on the weekends. No, that's not true.
He's called me a couple He's working weekends. Right now.
He is. No. I'm just saying, like, who works on the weekends? Like, there is no holidays for us. There is no, it's just nonstop. Right. And he called me on a Sunday, like, hey, you have an audition tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. So I had to literally stop what I was doing at that moment and, like, prepare for it. So it's one of those things. It's like, for the writing, it could be at 3 a.m. That's usually when I'm writing, when it's quiet. I silence my phone. It's like people blow me up when I need to just be by the computer. Right. They, it's like they feel like my energy is somewhere else. And they're like, no, I need to talk to you now. I'm like, is it an emergency? You know, and that's the thing about, I think, especially millennials, it's they're in such a need of instant gratification, instant communication, that if they text me right now and they're like, well, what happened? You didn't text me back. Are you mad at me? I'm like,
I know. That is so childish.
I'm like, I was on a live radio. I was on the Strange Chameleon show.
Exactly.
How am I going to text you back?
And just chill out.
Right?
Bro.
20 minutes, bro. Nah, brah. You know, if people get so mad and you're like, it's nothing personal. Like, I could be swimming underwater for an hour. Yeah. And like, because I do. I like to swim every day for an hour. And I'm like, I have like 100 texts and 3,000 emails. I'm like, I'll get back to you when I get back to you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
So you have to really learn how to shut everything off when you're in that inspirational mode. That's what I do. And I'm just like, and I don't need to tell anybody what I'm doing, because I'm doing what I'm doing. You know?
Right.
And yeah, and so I just keep it moving. I keep it going. I have so many projects going on. But like I said, it's a constant, it's in a rotation, mm-hmm. but it's almost just like on a natural calendar of its own. As one finishes, like I did Murder in the Woods, we're getting ready to release that. It's a feature film with Danny Trejo. It's all Latino.
Nice.
It's all Latino cast. Yeah. So that was awesome. So I was a writer and producer on that. I was also an actor in that. We have Jose Julian, Chelsea Rendon, Catherine Toribio, Jeanette Samano, Soledad St. Hilaire, Rolando Molina. We have, it's all Latino cast. So that movie took literally, years of my life to do, you know, and that one was like my baby. I'm like, okay, what do we need? Because we just finished doing like a whole tour. We sold out, I say tour, but it was the festivals, film festivals.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we sold out all our screenings, Denver, Chicago, LA, New York, Portland, New Jersey. So that's another thing. It's like I'm always on the go. I'm like, I'm on a plane. It's like that's when I can sit and read scripts, you know. So it's just a process. It's just one of those things. You just have to know, like, what are your priorities? Mm-hmm. You know, I shot 2 pilots last summer that I wrote and directed. One is called Happy Divorce Party, and the other one's called Women. And that's one
women.
Of those
women.
But with a Y. Women with a Y.
Oh, women with a Y. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that's that. Those projects, I put them kind of like on hold for a little bit because I'm the one that's editing them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it all depends, like, if it's a project that has a budget or not. Like, you have to kind of prioritize and see, okay, what am I doing with this? But I'm happy to report that one of them is being finished pretty soon. So I'm excited about
Congratulations.
That.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Lalief?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you put your short films or anything with them?
They just came back, right?
They just came back. Oh, okay. We volunteered for them for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. I believe it was like 2 weeks. And it was really amazing to see how far they've come, because I know that they took film organization took a long hiatus, mm-hmm. several years. And then last year they made their big, you know, re-debut, red carpet, everything they had. And after the time frame ended, we were able to go ahead and have a little get together of all the volunteers, and I took a moment to speak with James Olmos, and I let him know that I just thought it was so amazing that there was something like this taking place, because when I started out first training in acting school in a studio in Santa Monica, I was the only female Latina in the class. So I told him, yeah, I told him, you know, it really touches me to see that, you know, now there's this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like he was glad that I shared that with him. And I'm glad that he, because he's the founder and he's the one that helps really put that together. And I'm just glad that there's people like him.
Yeah,
doing
no, definitely.
Like that.
Definitely. Yeah. I right now, the projects that I would have to submit, I'm not the producers on them, but I'll definitely let them know because that would be awesome. You know, to premiere there. Like, I have a movie called Bride Plus One. It's a feature film comedy. And that one we're premiering in Michigan. So April 27th will be in Michigan. And I know that they're looking for film festivals to be in. But that was a great role because I play the best friend of this woman who throws herself a wedding. Because she's, like, in desperate need of getting married because she wants to have kids.
Right.
It's a really fun comedy with James Duvall. Do you remember? He played the rabbit in Donnie Darko.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so we have a really cool cast.
That was a good film.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
So that was a great experience. We shot in Michigan and here in LA. So April 27th we're having a screening in Michigan. I also have a TV pilot that I also I'm a series regular on called Mill Friend that's gonna be premiering pretty soon, I think, at the Chinese Theater.
Oh,
at
nice.
The Golden State Film Festival. I want to say it's like March 22nd. It's coming up. I have like all these crazy dates. I'm like, okay, where can I be? What do I got to do? I'm like, can I clone myself? I need three of me to go literally in one day to go here, there, and everywhere.
I think you'll be able to do that in like 2025. So.
2030 is what I heard.
2030.
So. 2025.
I was just guessing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, I was pretty close.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
Like, virtually, I'll be there. No, I saw that. I saw that you can actually hire somebody to, I guess they put their phone in front of their face. And like, I could be you. You're right here.
Oh,
and
yes.
You're, like, virtually at the meeting or whatever. I'm like, what? Is this for real?
Crazy.
Like, yeah. And then,
it's crazy.
I mean, that is really crazy. But anyway, no, I don't want to be cloned. I'm just saying I should be there because I need to be here, there, and everywhere,
right.
Like, in one day. And then I'm also getting ready to shoot this really awesome movie that I'm so excited about. It's going to end up being a feature, but I'm going back to my roots of theater. It's called La Cuarentona.
La Cuarentona.
So if you don't know what that means, tell them what you translated. La Cuarentona.
La Cuarentona.
La Cuarentona.
I got to tell you, I don't know what Cuarentona means.
Oh my God.
What? Is this a first? La que no habla español, ¿qué pasó?
Sí habla español.
¿Qué pasó?
Ay, pero no sé qué es cuarenta.
Oh, my goodness.
Just think of the root word, cuarenta.
Cuarenta. Oh, okay. The 40-year-old.
Yeah.
The 40-year-old, like a 40-year-old virgin.
Like the 40-year-old virgin.
Exactly.
Oh, beautiful.
My goodness.
So I'm going back to my comedy roots here, and it's a great script. We're shooting a music video this Sunday for the song. It's called La Cuarentona, so you guys can go to lacuarentona.com to get more information.
Okay. I will.
How do you spell that, by
Cuarentona.
No, I got to tell you, when I asked my mom, how do you spell in Spanish? I just spell words in Spanish. Mm-hmm. It was so easy because you spell it out as is.
Yes.
As you hear it. There are no silent E's.
Well, except the H's sometimes are a little.
Oh, yeah, because you can confuse it with the J. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right about that.
Or Asen, and it's an H, but it's there and it's not there. And you're like, when is it there? When is it not there? I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty simple. I actually caught on pretty quickly, and she was like, oh, wow, you wrote this? I'm like, yeah. You said spell as is. But I can't. So it sounds like a comedy.
It is a comedy. And so that one is about a 39-year-old woman.
It's about to be 40.
Yeah, it's about to be 40. And she's called out at another wedding. They call her out and they're like, she's 39. You're a cuarentona. And so she's just like, wait, what? So her boyfriend, she's like, okay, it's time. We got to get married. We got to do this, you know?
Right.
So it's a wedding movie. It's kind of like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Latino style.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And like the director, Miguel Orozco, he's really awesome. He pitched it to me as My Big Fat Greek Wedding meets Muriel's Wedding. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but both classics. I absolutely love them, but Latino style.
Okay.
So we have a mariachi Aguilas. So next Sunday, we're shooting the music video with the whole mariachi and everything.
Nice.
It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait. Yeah. So that's going to be
You'll need
fun.
A cajon player, and I play the cajon. So get me on board.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, we're
He plays music when we go over down to Mexico.
Oh, really?
He'll be, yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
I play, yeah. We're short on time. Just if you like, go ahead and just plug yourself. I know you were just kind of going over the movies and
where can people follow?
Yeah, where can we follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and at Facebook, and it's at Yelena De Leon. I know you're like, how do I spell that? Yelena De Leon at Yelena De Leon. So you can find me on Facebook or on Instagram and follow everything I'm doing. Yeah, that's where I'm at. I have a lot of projects coming out, and I'll be posting all the dates of where I'll be and stuff like that. And, you know, just got to keep plugging away, keep working, keep doing. And I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity
to come
and talk to you guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming. Absolutely. She survived the 405 on Oscar traffic.
Thank you all for listening to the Strange Chameleon Show.
Have a good night.
Have strange dreams.
Buenas noches. Thank you, guys.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.